Hi, this is Maxim Brecht of Maxim Brecht Ciders, located in Moscow, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, it's part four of a four-part series featuring Russian cider makers. Specifically, the one person during the entire series on Russian cider makers that was interpreting and translating Russian into English for me. And his name is Maxim Brecht. And he's a cider maker, and his brand name is Maxim Brecht too. Fantastic cider maker, by the way. And I really look forward to sharing that conversation with you. But first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. This year episode is number 235, and it rolls out on August 19th, which means we are at the final leg of August 2020. What a summer it has been. Despite the worldwide pandemic, the fruit is still on the trees, waiting for that perfect ripening season ahead in the fall. Some folks are already picking apples and crushing it. It's just a cider maker's time, isn't it? And certainly for all of us who are purely cider drinkers, it's just really making me thirsty thinking about it. And there's a lot of good cider to be had. I keep on hearing from different people who are enthusiasts coming into this scene, are just thrilled to check out all the diversity of cider out there. The conversation continues about what cider is. I mean, back in 2015, when I launched this podcast, I really launched it initially with the idea of trying to sort some of these ideas out, you know, the basics of, do you spell cider maker as one word or two words? Personally, I do it as one word. That's just me. And the dictionary is kind of a wiggy little thing there. It changes as it goes on. And then there's this constant conversation of what exactly is cider? Is it 100% purely fermented apple juice? Or can you call something that has both the fermented apple juice and fruit added something like a raspberry cider? Can you actually call it that? And that debate continues, and it just surprises me. I mean, if you haven't listened to the Omnia era of cider making, it's a episode I posted in, I don't know, May of this year. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's really my take on it, that conversation is kind of it's fun and interesting, but it's kind of like people, well, we'll just go as recent as the 50s when rock and roll came in and people said, that's not music. You know, rock and roll. Come on already. Jeez, I'm crow. You know, life changes and there's different seasons of the year as there are different errors of a certain craft and art. Certainly it happened in the painting world. It happens in the music world. We don't argue on that. I mean, when hip hop came along, did we like dispute that? I don't think so. It's music is music. And that's truly what's going on with cider. Now, there's different levels within that and certain preferences. And the world of cider is broad enough to invite everyone in. So if you're new to this scene, welcome to Cider Chat. It's a worldwide podcast, comes out weekly, and has over now, with this episode, 235 episodes that you could check out in the archive section of the page called podcast at ciderchat.com. Yeah. All right. I got to just take a pause on that. I want you to think about, you know, what era of cider you are in right now. Are you hanging on to the past, or are you able to dig into the Omnia era of cider making, which I believe we're in now. I'll be right back. Over the past couple episodes, actually a number of episodes, I have been posting audio snapshots with makers from all over the map. And they just record it on their little smartphone. It is a 2 minutes or less minimum to get it out there. And it's free. It's free for anyone to send that my way. You don't have to be a commercial maker, by the way. If you are jazzed up, you have some good cider news, because that's really what we want to be sharing here. There's enough bad news to like hang out with. And, you know, when I'm chatting with Ciderville with you right now, I just want to kind of keep it on the positive side of reality. That is definitely where my head stays at, and I have a feeling that's true for you. So we want to lift each other up. So that's what's been going on. It's been awesome. We had one last week, and I was hoping we'd have one this week. And this is what I have. Ah, yes, crickets. I like crickets too, but this little slot of time is set up just for you if you have some good news to share from your perfect spot in Ciderville. During this worldwide pandemic, I am offering this opportunity for anyone out there who would like to share some good news, and it is free. Free to post your good news to thousands of listeners who download this podcast every single week. It's pretty easy to do. Don't be shy. Like the crickets who hide underneath the rock and might not get the representation that they need. Send your voice recording to me, Rhea@ciderchat.com, so we could be talking cider and not just crickets. Cider competitions and cider festivals, and certainly my Totally Cider tour to England, have all been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. And as such, we're all kind of like postponing everything till 2021 and hoping for better times ahead. And you know, there are going to be better times ahead. There was a time not so long ago where we were all like, here, try this, and you know, maybe take a sip out of my glass, no biggie. And we kind of forget like what that was like for some of us going out there in the world. And we got to just hold tight between now and then. So I'd like to give you an update that I have for a specific festival and event that happens every year on the first weekend of November. And that is none other than the Franklin County Cider Days. It's the oldest cider festival in the U.S. And it takes place always the first weekend of November. I happen to have been involved in this event since the beginning, and am also on the committee. And what we're looking at moving forward is having a cider trail set up, and we'll be posting that, I imagine, in the next month here of September, to have you plan ahead for both October and November. Finding out what makers are going to be having their tasting rooms open and providing a more extended, broader time to be able to visit this region, because we're really trying to avoid having a complement of people coming in to any one location right now. And that's the goal of keeping everyone safe, both here at home and for visitors. So I'll be keeping you updated as we go along towards the November deadline. But you might be wanting to think about, maybe I could come in to this region if you're driving up from the south or in from the west on any of the beautiful weekends of October. There's no better time to visit New England than October, beginning of October, when the fall foliage just comes in. It's absolutely spectacular. I've hit weekends here where I'm driving up and down the interstate, and just with my mouth wide open, it's like looking at a cacophony of colors. And of course, we have our region, but also there's so many other places to visit just on your way here, especially if you're driving. So if you're coming in through New York, there's a plethora of beautiful cideries there. Coming up from the coast of the U.S., it's just cideries up and down the map. So why not, you know, start planning now to see if you could do that, and I will keep you posted as we move forward.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
It's time now for our featured presentation. It's part four of a four-part series on Russian cider makers. And this week, on episode 235, we have a conversation with Maxim Brek. I first met Maxim via the internet when he signed up to become a patron of Cider Chat via the Cider Chat Patreon page. And when I saw that he was from Russia, I was just floored, thinking, wow, I finally have contact over this border here and can find out what's happening in that scene there for cider. Fast forward to 2020, I knew that he was going to be coming to France while I was there. Fast forward to 2020, I was set to head to Cider Expo in Normandy, France, and attend the first ever Cider Fest in France. And it just so happened that Maxim and a group of Russian cider makers were attending too. So we immediately went to task deciding how we could get together and do this recording. Part 1, 2, and 3 of this four-part series has all been with Russian cider makers who actually have very good English, but it gets tiring when it isn't your native tongue. So Maxim has done a top-notch job translating in real time during that conversation. So you've been hearing him throughout this series. But in part 4, we're featuring Maxim Brek and his ciders. And of course, with a bit of chiming in from the other Russian cider makers in presence during this recording on February 14th, 2020, at Cider Expo in Normandy, France.
The Maxim,
yeah.
your brand is your
Yeah,
name.
It's just my name, yeah, because mm-hmm. I decided that I make cider by myself and I don't need any brands actually because it's my product for me personally to people who appreciate it. So this is why I decided to choose my name as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And yeah, the products which I made is a sparkling cider made with traditional method, champenoise, and steel ice cider and sparkling ice cider made by traditional method.
Sparkling ice cider, yeah, that's a unique
that's a
product
different,
line.
Different, yeah, guys in Canada, as I know. I knew it after I made it, that somebody else in the world made such thing. I started to investigate and I found that guys in Canada make the same thing, sparkling ice cider. So yeah, this is my products.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
But next years I want to make a little bit cheaper products, I mean, in terms of technology and efforts, because I want to make sales, and it's quite expensive technologies mm-hmm. to make money, mm-hmm. especially in Russia, where almost nobody knows about cider, and it's like a lottery when you ask somebody what you think when you hear cider.
Mm.
It's absolutely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost of them, but I think almost. How to say, the vast majority of people in Russia thinks that it's a very acidic, dry thing. Almost nobody knows that it
is. Is that because they had drank cider from a particular region of the world? Their family made it a long time ago farm? Or no?
We have, I think, almost no cider culture in Russia. As I know, there were some, how to say, I don't know. There were very little of cider in Russian life during these hundreds of years, maybe 100 or 200 years ago, as I know. I don't know. Have we some ciders in Soviet Union?
To try or produce?
Yeah, Soviet Union.
In Soviet Union produced. Ciders, but it was from juice, concentrate juice.
I
read the instructions
how to make,
like
national standards.
To do, to do this. It wasn't so good. It wasn't faster.
As usual in Soviet.
Very sweet.
Yes, to do faster, to do...
All products in Russia were made to make a big quantities, big amounts of products.
Yes.
Not in terms of quality.
Not quality, not craft.
Yeah.
As a craft brewer, you know
Now in Russia, the same situation like was 10 years ago when craft revolution of beer started in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And now in Russia, cider, I think, started cider revolution.
Definitely.
But it not... so, ярко.
Elena thinks that cider revolution will not be so fast as craft beer revolution.
Time, because beer...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Well, but how... So, you say that, and yet, here I am sitting in front of three cider makers.
Four. Actually.
I'm sorry, four cider makers. Okay. It's the morning. Obviously, it was a late night. We're at Cider Expo. Okay, thank you. No, maybe there. I start seeing double. There's eight, but and you came with even more producers,
about
right?
20 people.
20 people from Russia.
Yeah,
that feels like that's a big jump, and I'm just wondering, like, so if there was no cider culture, how did you discover cider? What made you, are you looking at what's going on in the rest of the world and seeing, oh, that, you know, I make beer, so I'm going to make cider, or I make a lovely cake, so, or I'm going to make an ugly cake, whatever, you know, it's just, I'm going to, I know how to ferment, I make pickles. I mean, how did you get into this if it's not so popular? Because it must be coming from somewhere.
I had a lot of apple trees in orchard of my mother-in-law in 2011. And it was just... My first Instagram photo is a photo with this apple covered the floor. A lot of apples on the floor.
Yeah.
Which should be going to the waste. I'm not sure about tenses here.
Yeah. An abundance, and there was nothing going on with those apples.
And I just, it was so beautiful that I decided to, I heard about cider, the word cider, actually, and nothing more.
Just the word.
Just the word, yeah. And I knew that it's somehow connected to apples. So I just started to Google, in the English internet, of course. And I knew that, oh, somebody makes something from this apple. And I just tried to press juice, and it was just interest. I mean, like I don't know, like curiosity.
Right.
Like you're interested in science or in engineering to do something or to investigate in something. The same. It was just investigation project for me. And then with each year, I started to immerse into that. And
was there anyone around you?
Absolutely.
In your neighborhood, or in your friend circle, or your family, or your mother saying, "Oh yes, great grandma."
No, nobody was anyhow related to cider. So it's just, I don't know how I can explain.
Well, you're kind of worldly in general, right? I mean, your English is impeccable, and then you went to the UK and the course of Peter Mitchell. Were you also doing international work that kind of brought you out and able to taste what cider could be, or you were just in Russia seeking this out?
The Peter Mitchell's courses were the first my trip outside of Russia. Not the first, I mean, in terms of cider. I've never tried cider outside of Russia before Peter Mitchell's courses, and I was really shocked that nobody in Herefordshire, at least these guys who I met, they just don't know that they live in the almost capital of cider making in England. It was shocking.
The people you met, like the locals?
Yeah, well, just local people.
Right.
Those who I live in, it's very strange for me because I thought, everybody in
is a cider
England
maker
drink cider magazine, farmer ciders, and no.
Did that make you think, I don't know what I'm getting into, because if I'm in the cider capital of England and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, and it's not so super easy to get these good ciders in England too, because it's usually industrial ciders everywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was my first, acquainting with cider varieties in England, and that was, this is why I'm a real fan of English style. Not industrial English style, but good ones.
Right.
Artisanal
right.
English style. So, yeah.
Wow.
Because it was my first impression of cider world. Yeah. Because before this moment, we had several, 10 to 20 different cider varieties imported into Russia. But they were mostly industrial ones too.
Mm-hmm. Alchemy with concentrate.
Yeah, made from concentrate.
That's
so
exciting.
And just now I realized that almost all people, they just do not imagine how good ciders can be, because they know only these concentrate made ciders.
But that's also must be so exciting, because here you're sitting on this moment in time in your country where you are able to make that first leap forward and bring an entire culture, entire country into cider.
Yes.
And one side it must be overwhelming, and the other it must be really exciting, because you are in a niche market, but you are bringing, when I think about Russia, I think of apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
You know, in terms of, you know, your base kind of root stock we're using in the U.S. for the trees. Mm-hmm. We're looking at Russian varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's surprising.
Coming up, you're going to hear some audio that I threaded in from the episode with Olga, which was part two of the series. And she's talking about the season that she actually picks up apples from the ground. And we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about how climate change is affecting everyone around the world and a bit on its impact for these Russian makers.
This year, we had almost no snow, and this is a problem. We picked in November, this apple from the ground in November.
Wow. Yeah, so you're really feeling climate change.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely. I had a huge problems with my eye cider concentration, because
you're doing a traditional
way, outside.
Yeah.
It's obvious, and it's very clear how everything is changing. Each year, really much temper and much warm than the previous one.
Is there in the country are there many people asking the government to do something about climate change?
I'm not sure.
Or does it get not talked about?
I'm not sure. We have to survive here, so
you have to survive. Yeah,
because it's not the main question.
Is that the main question?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
because
it won't be the main question until it really impacts people and you know what we're seeing in the U.S. now is such extreme weather. As a child, we never had tornadoes where I live. We never had this like extreme. I mean, one day it's snowing, the next day I'm not wearing a jacket. I mean, that is extreme weather and flooding. So, that's why we're looking at the children of the world. They're the ones who are like the best speakers of climate change. But as the adults, we're the ones who are responsible for it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for spending time with me. And I want to wish you the best of luck. And I think that at this time in history, at some point you're going to be on the coffee table in a book as the beginning of cider in Russia at this point. And so you are making an incredible impact.
Thank you.
In your country. And having met you for the first time, it's such a pleasure, and you're the right people to be doing this.
you're coming from the passion that you have, and also your knowledge, and the diversity of your knowledge is spectacular. And as also as women, to see what you're doing, that is really powerful. And you're so well spoken for that. So I want to thank you for that. And I also feel too, politically, you know, that the world is always kind of like going against each other, and we always find reason to characterize a certain country and then the people based on politics. But the apple makes us just be people.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We all want the same thing.
Yes.
And that, you know, we want good cider. We want good food.
Yes.
And we want a good life. This is very important for me to be able to have that opportunity to really translate that, because that's what's the most important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All problems, I think, between countries, not between people.
That's right.
In terms of people, it's... yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there... We invite you in our country, in our brewery in St. Petersburg, in Moscow.
We can manage your visit. It will be okay. No beers on the streets. No vodka in the morning.
No vodka in the morning. I don't know about that. Oh my goodness, that's a beautiful label. You have to send me that, okay?
Okay.
So I can present that. Alina has shown me her photo of her bottle, and it says Ugly Cake on it. It's a beautiful font, and it's kind of a bakery kind of label in a way. You know, very, very joyful.
Yes.
You know, in that if you go into a bakery, it's very bright. It's a beautiful presentation, clarity. I look forward to drinking some of your cider at some point.
Okay. Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for
inviting
efforts
us.
With the cider chat, because it's a, I don't know, great opportunity.
Yes.
I will never tired of saying that again and again, because your efforts make it easy to get in touch with the rest of the world, with the whole world. Yeah. So thank you very much for your efforts. Yeah.
Thank you.
Спасибо большое.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that is part four of the four-part series with the Russian cider makers. And I have a little bit of an update about Maxim. He just became a father this year, August 2020. And man, he's going to make a fantastic father. I know he already is. And you could sense it in his voice. The way he was just so kind and really paced himself through this whole four-part series, sitting at a table with four other women, so gracious. The guy's really impressive. And I want to tell you, his cider is equally impressive. Seek it out. If you can find his cider, seek it out. It might take a little while to get to Russia or have it come out of the country, but really, really impressive. And how interesting what he was saying about the UK. The idea that people in Herefordshire don't realize what they have. Isn't that true everywhere? I feel that happens in all these perfect spots of Ciderville around the world. Like the locals have no idea. That's a peri-pear tree, or that's an amazing apple tree. And it's conversations like this that really spread that so much further. So going back to all four parts, we had just an amazing time, an amazing opportunity. We had Alina from Ugly Cake Cider, Olga from OMG, Oh My God Cider, and Yelena from Nightberg Brewery with her Force of Gravity Cider. An amazing experience for me. I feel so privileged to have the opportunity to continue to break down my own preconceived ideas of a country and the people there. And these folks are perfect cider ambassadors for Russia, and what they're doing in their own country is really, as we say in the U.S., slaying it in the best way possible. I mean, they're out there educating, they're having their cider parties, they are keeping the finger on the pulse and moving their culture in the country forward as best they can and not looking back. And for that, I'd like to say thank you, or as they'd say in Russian, Спасибо. And I leave you here. Don't forget, Ciderville, send in your audio snapshots to me, Rhea@ciderchat.com. So next week, we won't have to be listening to, and instead can hear some good cider news from your perfect spot of Ciderville. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider, we like ponds, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like ponds, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!